were dealing with some real relational problems just yesterday, and there was a talk of broken relationships and possibly suicide and things like that. And it's like, you know, we have hope in Jesus Christ in any circumstances, and we're so thankful for that. Amen. So we'll just ask you to stand, and we're going to pray just for a moment. And I'm going to, even before I do that, as we go forward today, I'll have a number of songs. I have a lot of friends that are Catholics, and I love them. We vary on some things in the Catholic religion, and that's fine. But I've noticed, I've gone to some of the services and funerals, you're up and down a lot. You'll be up and down a lot today, and it's okay. Perfectly okay. We haven't converted to Catholicism, and I bless them. And actually, some of my friends who are Catholics are some of the finest Christians that I know. So I want to be clear about this, okay? However, so I'm simply will ask you to do on your own as we begin to sing a song. If you'll stand, if you're able to, and at the end of the song, you may sit down. And I think there's like four or five times you'll be up and down, but we don't have to tell you every time. Just go with it, right? When you start to hear his plan, come on up and stand up. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you, God. You brought the faithful ones into the house today. And God, for those that aren't able to make it today, we bless them as well. But God, we thank you that above all things that we're here today to celebrate the greatest gift, the big gift, the amazing gift to mankind, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And for that, we thank you, God. We pray that your presence would just dwell in this house today. And when we're done, send us with encouragement that the Messiah, as a reminder, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, has come to earth to save us from our sins. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing with us, O come all ye faithful.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then the angel said to Mary, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God... For with God, nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him to his wife. And he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. He called his name Jesus.
Before you set the edge of time, foundations up the earth and sky, you saw it all and said that it was good. The joy was set before your eyes, you knew that you would give your life, you saw it all and said that it was good. Stood still, his final breath, he tore the veil, the angels sang, Holy.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
Got a phone call a couple days ago from a neighbor lives downstate, and of course our power was out in Waterville, and so he'd asked me to try to go down and get his generator going. No, I'm not a generator expert. In fact, I'm not even a generator novice. And it was the day, like it was zero and the wind was like 80 or whatever it was. It was freezing. But I was glad to try to help him out. So I went down to his house and I parked, and I had a phone call from the guy who actually knows how to fix this, but he couldn't make it. He lives on the top of the mountain. So he's trying to explain to me, well, you have to do this, and you have to take a 5/16 wrench down there, and you have to take these sockets out, these nuts out, then you got to take this one out, and then there's the Metzenbaum switch in there, you got to turn this way and that. And it's like, I'm trying to follow all this. So I get down there, and I'm trying to do this out in the cold, but the point I'm trying to really get to is there was a lot of moving parts. And it really would help if someone that knew what they were doing to try to put it together and make it a little bit more understandable. But I did my best. And so, you know, the rest is history. But I said that to say this. I put this together a couple years ago. I've entitled it Commoners, Kings, and the Christ Child. And I hope it really brings together the Christmas story from Matthew and from Luke and how the components can all fit together. So it's the Commoners, the Kings, and the Christ Child. It's incredible how this event of 2,000 years ago continues to draw the attention of billions of people around the globe. This very special season we call Christmas evokes thoughts of wonder, suspense, and the miraculous. To see how the God of the universe chose to reveal his salvation plan for humanity by becoming one of us in the form of a baby boy, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. The story draws in real historical characters who are imitated annually in church Christmas plays and pageants around the world. Kingly figures such as Caesar Augustus, Herod, and the Magi from the East, and commoners like Mary, Joseph, and the lowly shepherds working the night shift in the fields outside of Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flocks by night. The account begins in Israel with the two commoners, Mary, a very young virgin, and her soon-to-be husband, Joseph. Mary, living in the northland of Israel called Galilee, in a small, insignificant village called Nazareth, receives a visit from the archangel Gabriel. He assures her that she has found favor with the God Most High. She was then given the offer to conceive, carry, bear, and raise the Son of God. The conception in her womb to take place by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Given this announcement, Mary would have understood that agreeing to conceive a child in this such a way and becoming pregnant out of wedlock would open her to scorn and suspicion, not only by her intended husband Joseph, but by her family, friends, and community at large. Frankly, is it any wonder why 9 months later there would be, quote, no room for them at the inn? In Joseph's hometown. She comes by it, honestly. In Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem, for this young and by then very pregnant, travel-weary teenager and her husband-to-be, Joseph. They would therefore have to settle for birthing her firstborn child in an animal stall, in a stable in Bethlehem outside of Jerusalem, likely the very place used for birthing lambs to be used at the sacrifice at the annual Passover festival in nearby temple in Jerusalem. Indeed, the favor of God at times is a two-edged sword, honor as well as heartache, both wrapped up in the same heavenly package. Despite all this, Mary and later Joseph would respond to God's plan by simply saying, yes, let it be done to me as you have said. Other commoners in our story include the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night to protect them from thieves, wolves, and other destroyers. It was to these lowly laborers that God chose to first publicly announce the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, born not far from where these shepherds were faithfully performing their duties. A host of angels appeared to them, telling them they would find the newborn babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a feeding stall, possibly the very same stall where the sheep out in the fields that night had been birthed just months before. The shepherds immediately went and found the baby exactly as the angels had said. Then they went away rejoicing, telling all those that they encountered about the amazing events of this night and about this child whom the angels said was the Savior, Christ the Lord. Moving on from the commoners, we now meet the kings of the Christmas story, beginning with the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. Frankly, Caesar, in his warm palace hundreds of miles away in Rome, would be completely unaware that his edict to require a census throughout his kingdom would require Mary and Joseph to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem and ultimately bear the Messiah there. In doing so, Caesar Augustus unwittingly became instrumental in the Christmas story by helping fulfill the words of the prophet Micah, who had written 500 years earlier. Micah predicted that Christ the Messiah would indeed be born not in Nazareth, but in Bethlehem. Other royalty in this story of stories include Magi traveling from the Parthian kingdom to the east, who, having seen the supernatural appearance of a star in the heavens, arrive at Herod's palace in the capital city of Jerusalem, seeking to find the one who has been born king of the Jews. I mean, where else would they expect a king to be born except in the king's palace in the nation's capital? They would have been greeted there by a jealous and wicked king, Herod. Herod was only a king in a figurative sense. He was given his title king and governance over Israel by Rome, to whom he was completely loyal. His rule was not sovereign, as a true king of kings would be. Herod would redirect the Magi to the nearby hamlet of Bethlehem, where the prophet Micah had predicted the Messiah would be born. Too indifferent to be bothered to go himself, King Herod's wicked scheme was to have the Magi find the Christ child and then report back to him the child's location, so he in turn could murder this would-be rival to his family dynasty. After the Magi's finding Jesus, worshiping him, and presenting him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they were warned by God in a dream about Herod's murderous scheme and departed from Bethlehem by a different route. And finally, the pivotal character in the Christmas story, the one with no lines to quote in any Christmas play, is the baby Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. To an outsider, the arrival place and time of this child may seem insignificant, almost happenstance. But to God, that day came about in the exact fullness of time. Jesus would be born in a filthy stable because there was no room for the fledgling family in the guest house, at least none for a mother having become pregnant under such seemingly scandalous circumstances. A stable, a manger, swaddling clothes. Truly, there was no nativity scene here, at least not the kind of those commonly portrayed on today's beautiful Christmas cards. However, to God, this was the appointed place and time, and these were the appointed parents. The pivotal event of all human history set in motion in the Garden of Eden thousands of years earlier, when God informed Satan that the seed of the woman would one day destroy him and his power. This was Emmanuel, God with us, who would lay aside his heavenly privileges to be born in the likeness of man in the Bethlehem stable. It has been well said, Jesus could not redeem us until he became one of us. And so that's what he did. And because the Son of God chose to put on human flesh, therefore all mankind can now receive eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, by the same method Mary used to accept the offer given to her, by simply responding yes to his invitation. Yes, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, my Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us. Indeed, this baby in a manger, having all the appearance of a commoner, was in fact a king. Actually, he was and is the king. The Magi were not seeking the one who would become the king of the Jews, but the one who had been born king of the Jews. He was, always, and will always be a king, the king of heaven. The Christmas account reminds us of the way in which the heavenly king has become a man to save Adam's fallen race. Divinity has indeed become confined in a man, Emmanuel, God with us. Please stand as we sing. Thank you. Sorry about that. Please sit down. I have another reading. I apologize. Come on, Pastor Sherry. We got out of order a while back, and I've been trying to catch up, and I dropped the ball.
Wait, where?
Yeah, I know. It's all good. It's Christmas time.
Try to be the one that's sitting down here trying to figure out where you're supposed to be in the order. Everybody up here knows they're out of order. I don't until they're out of order, right? John chapter 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning, the living expression was already there. And the living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together, face to face, in the very beginning. And through his creative inspiration, this living expression made all things. For nothing has existence apart from him. A fountain of life was in him, for his life is light for all humanity. And his light never fails to shine through darkness. Light that darkness could not overcome. Suddenly a man appeared who was sent from God, a messenger named John. For he came as a witness to point the way to the light of life and to help everyone believe. John was not that light, but he came to show who is. For he was merely a messenger to speak the truth about the light. For the perfect light of truth was coming into the world and shine upon everyone. He entered into the world he created, yet the world was unaware. He came to the people he created, to those who should have received him, but they did not recognize him. But those who embraced him and took a hold of his name, he gave authority to become the children of God. He was not born by the joining of human parents, or from natural means, or by a man's desire, but he was born of God. And so the living expression became a man and lived among us. We gazed upon his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. As we prepare to light the candles, I couldn't help but be I was overwhelmed on the way into church this morning with thankfulness and gratitude. Amen. It seems like this huge world around me and all of the issues and problems that we hear about actually became very small. Became very small and light because I began to think that the very reason why we're coming to church today, that very person who was born today, Jesus Christ, spoke the world into being. What magnificent power must there be, and how great must his power be? How great must that light be if he can put the sun in the atmosphere, if he can put the moon and the stars, and he can speak everything that we see into being? Nothing was made apart from him, the Word of God says. And it says, but the darkness, it can't comprehend it. The darkness cannot overcome it. And then that same light that came into the world now lives in us. Behold the light of the world.
Amen.
God, I pray this morning, Lord, that just an understanding would come into our hearts of what really happened on this day. That you came to save us. That you came to give us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That you came to die for our sins. You came to reinstate us into your Father's family.
When you were saved and when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were ushered into a family, a father that will never let you down, a father that will never leave you.
Lord.
How amazing is that? Behold the light of the world.
God, we thank you for that silent night, that holy night. God, thank you that from the time that history began, the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, was planned on your calendar to redeem mankind. God, we thank you for this amazing time of the year, and we celebrate so much, but we celebrate most of all the advent, the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please, you may extinguish your candle. Please remain standing. We're going to bring the lights up. Just one or two quick announcements. Prayer is on for this Wednesday, and we hope you can join us at 6 o'clock. And if you're paying close attention to my series, actually, we're not done. We have one more installment next week. We're going to be talking about the shepherds, and then we're going to also talk about the wise men and Herod. I want to, as I'm studying for that message, I want to just encourage you. When we read the part about this star that these Parthian wise men were traveling, I want to let you know that is so much more than just a line or two in the Christmas story. And I've done the history, and I'm hopefully going to reveal some of that and bring all things together. But this time, when the day and the time when Jesus was born, this was one of the most astrological phenomena, prominent astrological phenomenons in history. That day, that time when Jesus was born, these people, these very wise men, were really looking for what was taking place, knowing that the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who had been prophesied back all the way back to the book of Numbers, was coming. It was going to arrive in the land of Judea, in the city of Bethlehem. This wasn't happenstance. This was historical, and God had planned it. Jesus Christ arrived on this planet at that moment in time to redeem mankind. And history had been looking for it for centuries. And these wise men were wise enough to seek it out. Amen. So we're going to talk about next week. So we have a closing song. And as you leave today, we ask you, please spend some time just visiting with each other. But also we have a nice Christmas gift for all of you, a Christmas ornament for each family. Gianna will help us hand those out the door there. So please get one of those. We'll have your name on it. If you're visiting with us, we, of course, have one for you as well. We have some Christmas cookies out there. If you're planning on eating like at noon and we're going to spoil your lunch, then take them with you. It's okay. We're not going to criticize you. Just do that. We got some really good cookies. Pastor Sherry sought those out. That is no, we didn't get them never mind. They're really good. They're really good. So enjoy those. So we have one closing song, and we hope you'll sing it with us, and then we dismiss you.